Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time, and we pray this morning that we would find our joy in you, that our joy and rejoicing would be in you, that your words would come and we would eat them, and they would become more enjoyable than any food we've had, that we would meet with you and that you would meet with us in a very special way. I thank you for your great promise, where you have said, if we draw nigh unto thee, you will draw nigh unto us. And we believe this promise. And so we come with a desire to draw near to you. And if there's any heart today, any soul that does not desire to draw near to you, may even in this very moment, may their heart be changed. Please, Father, meet with us now. We need you. And I pray, Father, that you would take the wicked idols of our lives, the things that we place our trust in, the things that keep us from praying to the true and living God, that those things would be cast down, broken, and that we would do as those of ancient times did, take down the high places and the idols of our lives. And Father, I pray, knowing that there are certain things that keep revival from coming, one of them being the things that we trust in rather than the God that we ought to, that you would change this in my very life and in the lives of your people of the Wood River Baptist Church, and that we would love you more than we love our things, more than we love our money, more than we love our pills, more than we love our drinks and our food, that we would love you more and give unto you more. And so please do these things and bless us and meet with us in a very special way today. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We'll take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. It's good to see you this morning. May God work a work in the days in which we live that would bring us to awe. May He do it today. Habakkuk, chapter 2. You often think that our lives are one of the sins that we don't deal with and don't have to deal with is the sin of idolatry and the sin of trusting in inanimate objects. We live in a strange day, brethren. It is truly a strange day. We live in a day where the elite among us, those who are considered the smartest, are often trusting in very strange things. Trusting in crystal balls and soothsayers and many other strange things. We call it the New Age movement, where people will trust in the way your hand looks, or in the leaves of a teacup. We would rather trust in these inanimate things than put our trust in God. And I don't know why that is, but the truth is we do. We'll put our trust in our money and our possessions. Will be devoted to these things, and the things that we believe will give us the answers and will give us the life that we want, we will be devoted to those things. And anything that we're devoted to, anything that we have a greater desire than God, anything that we will seek after will steal away what we could have in God. Will steal away what we could have in God. When we get something because we have the money to get it, or we get it because we have the credit to get it, I want you to know we will not give praise to the Lord, but we will praise what we get. And it'll steal away what we could have from God. When we look at Habakkuk chapter 2 and we come upon these woes under the nation of Babylon, who is going to come upon the nation of Israel and utterly destroy the city of Jerusalem, would cast the stones down and would destroy the temple of Solomon, we come and we see a people who were filled with idolatry. And God was going to judge them according to their idolatry. The interesting thing is that the Israelites were judged for their idolatry. It's easy for us to look at the unbelievers and say they are idolatrous and not look upon ourselves and notice the same things. We spoke a few weeks ago on our idolatry, on our covetousness, which is idolatry. But we see throughout our nation a movement to trusting in inanimate things. And so if you notice there in Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof have graven it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein, to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. And so here we have these Babylonians, and they were a people of idolatry. They worshipped idols. They would worship idols that were made of wood. They would worship idols that were made of stone. They would worship idols that were made of gold and silver. But one of the characteristics that all idols have is what? What are some things that we know about all idols? What do we know about all idols, Ed?
They're silent.
They're silent. They can't talk back, right? No idol has ever talked back. It has never, ever, ever happened. It has never happened that an idol has talked back, right? What are some other things that we know about idols? They can't speak. What else can't they do? Debbie?
Yes, they
well, some idols are of the devil. The devil does have certain abilities within this world and will confuse people by them, and will cause certain things to seem to give credence to the idol. But what are some things that we know about idols? Gail? They have no power. They're without power, right? There's no power within an idol. That's definitely true. What else? Jackie? There's no life within idols, right? No life within idols. That's right. They can't give life because they have no life, right? Mark?
Moneymakers.
They're money makers, right? Idols are things that will absolutely make people money, right? Brethren, I would warn you against giving your money to people who they're charlatans or they're filled with devils, and they'll try to give you answers to your questions. Who am I going to marry? Well, let me look at your palm and I'll tell you. Am I going to get a better job? Well, let me look into my crystal ball. Will my life be better tomorrow? Let me check my zodiac. Right? These are all things that people will seek answers from, but they cannot get them. All right? And there are many people, I just do that for entertainment's sake. Find a different entertainment. All right? I'd encourage you to do that. Don't give your money to someone who is either a charlatan or has a devil. And believe me, people will give themselves to these things. Some of the most powerful people that the world has ever known, them and their wives have been completely taken in by these strange things, by the Ouija board, and it's a shame because what it shows is that there is a trust in these things rather than a trust in God. I want you to notice verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Why keep silence before God? Because God can speak and we can hear. And one of the reasons why we don't hear from God is because we've given our ear, our devotion, our desire to these things. We've given our trust to things that cannot speak. And we need to be careful about giving ourselves to these things. We need to be very careful because it is this great sin of giving our devotion and our delight and our desire to these things that cannot speak will seriously hinder any revival in our own lives. It will seriously hinder any revival in our own lives. Here's why. If we trust in these things, we will not speak to the one who can speak back. If we trust in our gold and our silver, in our money, in our the things that we have in our home, guess what? We will not speak to the God who's able to speak back. We will not speak to the one who's able to do something about it. We'll say, "I have something that I don't need. I have this. I don't need to pray to God." And one of the greatest sins of our lives, the greatest sins of our lives, is not the things that we fall into, but the things that we're devoted to other than God. The things that we trust rather than trusting in God. And the nation of Babylon was a nation that gave their trust to inanimate objects. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He was a man that built a statue to the sky that all the nations were to trust. And the similarities between Babylon and our nation today are striking. Are striking. America is the greatest military power that the world's ever known. We can trust in our aircraft, but I want you to know it won't do anything in opposition to God. We cannot trust in these things. America is the richest country the world has ever known, at least in recorded history. It's important for us to understand we can't trust in the riches of our country. The truth is that none of these things are God. And they cannot replace God. They cannot replace God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true and living God. What are some things that people do turn their trust to? They seek answers and they try to find answers from these things rather than from God. What are some other things? We've spoken about some of them. Crystal balls and things like that. What are some other things that you've heard of that people have talked to you about? Gail? Horoscopes, sure. Right, horoscopes. There's a great movement within this world today. People will gather themselves into huge groups and conventions, all according to the constellations in the sky. There are those who say we're either in the age of Aquarius or we're moving into the age of Aquarius. Have you ever heard that? The idea of the greatest technological things that will bring about peace. But I want you to know that no one can bring about peace. The Antichrist will bring a false peace, but the only one that can bring peace to the world is Jesus, and that will be after war. An egregious and a great and a terrible war. In fact, it's called the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord as all the nations gather themselves in the Valley of Armageddon and to fight against God. But guess who wins? God does. sure. But don't be fooled. People will give their love, they will give their trust to horoscopes. There's no doubt about it. Debbie? Yeah. The power of the stones, it'll release the bad energy in your body and suck it into the stones. And people give credence to these things. We need to be careful about certain things. We should read about where they come from. You know, all the gyms today have yoga. Be careful of those things. At the end, what you're supposed to do is to bow down to some false god. But it all comes from a Middle Eastern New Age movement that's come across our country. And it's infiltrated to where, and it's done certain things to where it seems innocent. But it pulls away our trust from God. Anything that's going to pull away our trust from God is not good. It is not good at all. Anything that's going to lead us to say, you know what, I'm going to seek answers from this. I'm going to try to get relief from this rather than from God is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And the reason why we see in the book of Habakkuk these things is because we see a... Even in the people of God, we see an incorporation of bad things into our lives because it's all around us. You know, we as Christians will often take on when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Babylon, do as the Babylons do. And the reason why is either one, we're scared to, like Debbie said, buck those things and to say, I'm not going to do them for fear of being said we're silly. There's people in this room that think I'm silly for saying, be careful of yoga. think I'm silly. But I've read where it's come from. And you should too. I've read where it's come from. And it is a heathen way of living. And it really becomes people's lifestyle. Jackie? Right. Yeah. And there's no doubt about it. We need to be careful because there's a lot of things that we can do. Not all of them are bad. You know, I'm not against all non-conventional things. I think it's an intelligent thing that if you find yourself in the midst of some kind of disease, to look at your diet. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And say, you know, maybe some of what I'm eating is maybe some of the cause of what I'm doing. I've known people who've had cancer and they gave up. They didn't eat any more meat. They only ate certain types of fruits and vegetables. They distilled their water, and God used that. They you know, along with other things. They were able to get it, the cancer went left. By the way, brethren, always pray first, right? There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. We ought to go to the doctor, but let's pray first. God knows what's going on in our body before the doctor does. And now, should we go to the doctor? Absolutely. But we should pray first. right? We should pray first. Sometimes God is dealing with us and the way we do things, and He simply wants us to come to Him, and He'll give us the answer that we need. But we live in a day and in a country that does not want at all to trust God. Does not want at all to say, you know what, God, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to live by faith in this, in my money, in my health. I'm going to live by faith. And again, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but pray first and ask the Lord what you should do. Because God knows what to do. It may be that He wants you to go to the doctor. But pray first. You know, we live in a day of many mental diseases. And the mentality is, then go to the doctor and get pills for it. But many times we go to the doctor and we get those pills and we end up worse than we were. It's funny to hear about pills that are supposed to help with depression. And one of the warnings is, if you feel like killing yourself, see your doctor. Right? And because some of these things that we put in our bodies will not act right. Now, it may be that you need to, there's a chemical imbalance within you that you need to take care of. But you'll have trouble if you don't pray first. You'll have trouble if you don't pray first. Because God is the one who made us, and He's the one that can fix us. He's the one who made us, and He is the one who can fix us. We live in a day where there's a great amount of supernatural things, where people will say, I'm spiritual, but their spirituality doesn't come from the Bible. Our spirituality needs to come from the Bible. And as Christians, we need to be careful, because I want you to understand that as we begin to partake of idolatry, because that's the way the world's doing it today, it will hinder revival. Because as long as we don't have to trust in God, but we can trust in everything else in the world, we will be a people who do not pray. By the way, what happens when we die? That's right. Say we do have an incurable thing. Something that either we'll have for the rest of our life or will bring about our demise. Guess what? We're going to heaven. And all of us, if we live long enough, are going to come to a place where we are going to be faced with, should I do something that my conscience is telling me not to do? Which, by the way, is the Holy Spirit for believers. Do something that God does not want me to do because I'm sick. Because I'm sick. Or will I do what God wants me to do? And even if I die, I know I'm going to heaven. We and it's always been this way. Death is the worst thing that can happen to a person. But in reality, death is the very best thing that can happen to a person. If you're saved. Now, if I were not saved, I'd do everything I could to not die. If I were not saved, I'd do everything I could to not die. But death will come no matter what. And if we're saved, we're going to heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so will we do everything we can not to die? Will we do everything we can not to die? Even if it leads us to a place where we say, God, I have no trust in you. I don't want to die, God, and therefore I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask for your will. I'm not going to be at peace with death. I'm going to do everything I can not to die. I'm going to do everything I can to get what I want. And that's why people go to soothsayers. They want to do everything they can to get what they want. And so God says, listen, I want you to know these things are dumb. They cannot speak. You may think they're speaking, but they are not. And you will find out that they're not. Brethren, there are real devils. In America, we don't think that way. We think that things that happen are coincidences, or I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or under the wrong star. The first star I saw tonight was the wrong star. But the truth is there is the reality of devils, demons, supernatural beings that try to confuse us and try to steal us away from the one true and living God who is also real. We do not think that the culmination of our decisions, which have led us away from God and into a place of mental anguish, rather than turn to the God who needs to be repented to, we turn to, in many ways, quack doctors who the first thing they want to do is put us on pills. You know, sometimes we're in mental anguish because of the culmination of our decisions, because we've done things that we shouldn't have done. And rather than say, God, you know what, I've done things that I shouldn't have done, we turn away from those things. For example, Nebuchadnezzar. Did he go crazy? Oh, he did. He became like an animal, to where his hair was like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails were like the claws. I forget what the claws were like. They're long. And he stayed crazy for 7 years. Until he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm not the greatest. You're the greatest. And then he was restored to health. Sometimes our deep depressions are because, and we know why it is, because we have done things we shouldn't have done. We've said things we shouldn't have said. We've not heeded the counsel of the Word of God. And God's saying, listen, repent and turn back to me. Turn to John 14. You know this verse. It's one that you've had by memory. Even if you haven't tried to memorize it, you have it by memory because I've said it so much. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now what does this verse show us and prove? That Jesus Christ is God. Right? Jesus Christ is God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 10, we'll look at this in the next time of worship together. But Jesus says, I am the door. We enter in through Him. And then we enter in and out and in and out and in and out through Him. And sometimes we go through what we're going through because He wants us to enter in unto Him. But what if we say, you know what, God, I do not want to go in unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other ways I can find to do it. I don't need to pray in order to be healthy. I don't need to pray in order to have the things I want. I don't need to pray in order not to be depressed. I don't need to turn to the Lord. I don't need to enter in and enter out. I want you to know we are denying God His Godship in our life. And I know these things are hard to grasp or to hear. And people who speak like this are crazy. But I believe with all my heart that we have a God that we can turn to in our time of need. But if we are not turning Him to in our time of need, we will seek out other ways to meet that need. And we've all found ourselves doing those things. We've all found ourselves turning to that which is not God in order to get answers or to get relief or whatever it is. If Jesus Christ is the one true and living God, what does that make every other thing we try to get answers from? If we're going to try to get answers from these things, what does it make them? What does it make them? Idols, right? It makes them idols. And it makes them idols. And we have to deal with that as Americans. We really do. There are plenty of people who turn to dumb idols for their answers. By the way, you can go to the Catholic Church and there are many people who are bowing down today, right now as we speak, to statues of saints in order to get answers or relief from certain things. Let's go to God. Let's go to God. Turn to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. By the way, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. And I'm not saying don't take the pills. But I am saying pray. Yo, one day I'm going to have to deal with my overweight and how overweight I am. I'm going to have to deal with it. There's going to be high blood pressure pills. Praise the Lord, I'm not there yet. Or diabetes things, or there's going to be health issues if the Lord doesn't return, right? And maybe what I need to do is repent of the way I live my life and turn to a God who can help me and lose the weight so I don't have to take those things. And you pray for me. I don't want to die if I don't have to, and I certainly don't want to die of diabetes. I don't. But maybe I need to turn to God in these things. If you look there in Isaiah 47, in verse 11, the Scripture says, "Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up, and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." Now this is the judgment against Babylon. This is going on at the similar period of time that we're looking at in the book of Habakkuk. But what kind of judgment was going to come upon Babylon? What describes this judgment? It was going to be what? How does God describe how the judgment was going to come? Suddenly, right? Swiftly. It was going to come in a moment. By the way, what happened is that the king of Babylon, which was not Nebuchadnezzar, saw the hand that wrote on the wall, right? And then by the end of that night, what happened to the nation of Babylon? It was gone, right? Gone. Was God right? Did judgment come suddenly? It most certainly did. Judgment came suddenly. Why would the people here in Babylon, why would they not know of the judgment of God coming. Why would they not know it? Why would they not know that the judgment of God was coming? Jackie? They were away from God, right? They people may have been crying it from the rooftops, but they did not know, right? Do you think the Babylonians thought today's the day we're going to be judged by God and we're going to lose our nation? No, they had no clue at all. They were drinking it up. They were taking the vessels of God's temple and getting drunk with them, right? By the way, does America necessarily have to know when the judgment's going to come, or might it be swift? Could the judgment of God come in a day upon our nation? Sure. What are we as the people of God going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? May God help us to not follow along into the judgment, but to be prayerful, to be praying for our nation. And by the way, you can see in detail in Daniel chapter 5 how God judged the nation of Babylon. What did the Lord invite Babylon to call upon in these verses? Who did He say go to? When your destruction comes, go to them. What does He say? Very specific. Jackie? Yep. Astrologers and prognosticators. Right? It says, and He says, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee, right? When the judgment comes, what will those people be able to do? Nothing. Right? Nothing. And by the way, the stargazers were right there in the castle, so to speak, of the nation of Babylon when destruction came. Daniel was too. By the way, may God help us to be Daniels. Right? May God help us to be Daniels. In the book of Daniel, you have Daniel, right? And then you have Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, which were the Babylonian names given to these three other men. But there were thousands that were brought into Babylon from Israel that partook of the king's meat and did it the king's way. They were assimilated into the culture of Babylon. But was Daniel assimilated into the culture of Babylon? Was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego assimilated into the culture of Babylon? No. They weren't. What do you mean by that? Look, maybe they wore the clothes of Babylon, right? I don't think they wore clothes that they shouldn't have worn, but maybe they wore the robes. Does that mean that they were assimilated into that culture? No, right? Well, certainly not. But what was it that we could say? You know what? They were just Babylonians from Israel. Well, Daniel prayed. I think they stopped praying. I think everyone but those four stopped praying. You know, we are assimilated into the way of America when we stop praying. Because America trusts in its riches rather than praying. I think we're assimilated in the way of America when we stop learning the Word of God and living according to the Word of God. We've assimilated ourselves into America. And we don't need to assimilate ourselves to be Americans. We can be Americans who are Christians. And we can do it the way God wants us to do it in our nation. Right? Let's not be assimilated. Let's not become as they are, but let's be Christians. By the way, always be a Christian first and an American second, not the other way around. Because if we're an American first, we won't be a Christian. And we see that as time goes by. I think it's great to be proud of America and of our great heritage. We have a great heritage. God has attended unto our nation from its very founding. There's no doubt about that. The miracles that God has wrought to bring our nation to pass are astounding. One of these days we may take a look at some of the things that God has done through the years for our nation. Is He still doing them? He will, and He is for His people, those that call upon His name. And so let's be Christians first and not Americans. We can be Americans second. And we don't need ever to be Americans when what Americans do is not what God would have us to do. Amen? Why do people turn to things to help in time of need? Why do they not turn to God? Why do they not turn to God? Becky? No faith, right? Sure. We turn to things rather than God because of lack of faith. Now in Psalm 115, and we'll close with this. This is a pointed question, not from God, but from those who don't know God. In Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." Verse 2, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" And so what do the heathen say? What do the unbelievers say? Where is your God? Hey, where is your God now? Right? Where is your God now? Where is your God now? Why did they ask that? Why would they ask that? It was a logical question. You go to your churches, where is your God? Here's the pointedness of the question for us. If people were to start asking that question now, what would we say? I don't know. Who are we living for? We need to be a people who are able to live out our lives by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us so that we might have all things in Him. Because if we're trusting in that which is not God, just like everybody else, then it's a logical question for people to ask, where's your God now? Where's your God now? And I praise the Lord that that answer will be answered. He is right here in the end. But we can live by faith today. Amen? We can live by faith today. And we do not have to live as everybody else does, even if they're going to say we're nuts. Now, I'm not saying we need to be like the Christ's scientists or whatever that is. What are they called? What's that? Christian scientists. You're right. We don't have to be like them. And our children break a leg and we say, well, we're not going to take them to the doctor. We're not going to go to the hospital for that. So that's stupid, all right? God has given us doctors for a very good reason. I praise the Lord for doctors. I praise the Lord for Dr. Jay Meal. He's a Gideon that was here the other day. And he's done a good job. And he's, with Lyme disease and certain things, helped us through and given us good counsel. That being said, may God help us to pray first. Amen. And we do not have to look like the world. We can look like God's people. And when they ask, where's your God now? We'll say, right here, with me. What an incredibly faith-melting question if we don't know where God is. It would melt our faith if we didn't know where God was. May we never be in that position where our faith melts away because we can't answer that question honestly. Where's your God now? Let me tell you where my God is. He's right here, helping me along. And He's done great things for me. There was another question that was asked in another time. The people of God were singing. The people of God were praising. And they said, the Lord hath done great things for them.